greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, our strength. I was blessed by the first hymn especially and the last stanza, thinking about God. He is our sun and shield by day. He's both. Well, he's all. Our help, our hope, our strength and stay. God is our strength. I've been assigned a topic on ministering to the grieving. And in the preparations for that, and realizing that one can't say everything in one session, I came across some things that have blessed me and are a comfort for Christians. And just like to have you think with me about these thoughts. It's in Deuteronomy 33 where when Moses was giving his farewell address and his blessings, and I don't know if you want to turn there, but I invite you to think with me or turn to Deuteronomy 33, and we're going to be snatching a truth here of half a verse from verse 25, and we're going to think about it, and we're going to illustrate it, and we're going to just ponder it, compare it to some scriptures from the New, and hopefully luxuriate in it. Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, and we'll notice that Moses is talking to Asher, the tribe, and he says a number of things in the last half of 25, as your days, so shall your strength be. The New International Version says the same thing in these words, your strength will equal your days. Now, you and I recognize as we think back over the days of our lives that the days aren't identical. And you and I have different experiences. Maybe, especially this verse is meaningful to us when our days are trying, when there are wintry kinds of days, or it's an arduous journey. And so, as we think about those days, and maybe it's the assignment that we just have to get done, and so maybe it's a task, and maybe it's responding to the events of life that bring tears. The promise here is that our strength will be equal to our days. So, whether they're dark or sunny, or whether they're wintry or springtime, whether they're trying or not so trying, when all our earthly props fail, these are the days in which we turn to God for his strength. And now I'm going to switch to Philippians, where we notice here in the fourth chapter of Philippians, Paul is commenting to the Philippians about their generosity, and he's expressed his appreciation, and he says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ, through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. Fellow pilgrim, are you dispirited, depressed, and cast down? Are you looking back upon your past with sorrow and forward into the future with fear? Cheer up. The Lord will not lay on you more than he will enable you to bear, nor will he allow any other to do so. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a reassuring promise that fills it out, that as your days, so shall your strength be. That strength that we depend on and need comes from Jesus Christ. Yes, God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So however weak we may feel in ourselves, however rough the road that we may have to travel, however heavy the burden that we have to carry, God will supply us with sufficient strength for the day. Wintry or trying or dark, though it may be. And Jesus himself said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." There's the connection and the source of the strength that we need in the days that we go through. You know, God has never allowed us to be crushed yet. Though we may have staggered under some burdens, we're still here. He has helped us in the past, and he is our helper today. Day by day, he helps us. He will also help us in the future, and Jesus had some words to say about not being anxious or worried about the things that are up ahead. And he said, "Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof." Now, those are some trying days being hinted at there. And he will, as your days, be it troublesome as they may, he will give us the strength. So shall our strength be, from the Old Testament quotation. Now, a number of years ago now, back in 1977, Vera Knisley gave to us a book entitled Valleys and Vistas by David Bogard, with this little notation: "May the message of this book help you bring comfort to those who are sorrowing." It was meaningful to get this from her, and I've often remembered it, going back to peruse its pages, and today I'll do so again. David wrote, having walked the valley of sorrow, and I'm going into chapter 3, and I'll read a couple of, several pages here. "You may find it difficult to believe what I'm going to write in this chapter. If I had not experienced it myself, I would doubt that it could happen, but I know that it did. When I found my wife on the floor, I had no question at all that she was dead. I had seen death enough to recognize it when I saw it. What would you expect a person to do when he finds the one he loves more than anyone else in the world dead? It would seem natural to become highly emotional, perhaps hysterical, even to the point of being incapacitated. But none of this happened. I was as cool and collected as if I'd found a door open which should be closed. I felt for a pulse. With the hope that my first judgment had been wrong, I straightened her out so that I could place my ear on her chest to detect a possible faint heartbeat, although I knew it was useless. I called a doctor and a mortician, giving coherent instructions how to reach my home. All this time, I was as collected as if I were a robot. I remember kneeling where she lay and saying, 'Lord, what's the matter with me? My wife lies here dead, and I feel nothing.' When the doctor arrived, I remarked to him that I had no feelings at all. He said that this was due to shock. The state of detachment lasted until the undertaker had come and gone. Then my frame of mind changed drastically. I have not been satisfied with the doctor's explanation that my cold detachment was due to shock. Never in my life was I more in control of myself, more capable of making decisions. It appears that one in a state of shock would lack these capacities. Days passed when I was far from being as calm as I was in that first hour. I have puzzled about it. I have consulted one or two of my friends about it. And now there has come a satisfactory explanation. There is an Old Testament promise on which I have relied many times. It is found in Deuteronomy 33:25 and reads, 'As your day, so shall your strength be.' The more I think about it, the more convinced I am that what I experienced in that first hour was a fulfillment of that ancient promise. Without even asking for it, I was being sustained by a divine power. I was alone in the house. Someone had to function in that situation. I was the only one who could do what had to be done, and without consciously praying for calmness, I had it. I did what was required, not realizing that there was a supernatural quality about my actions. After many hours of pondering, I have thankfully come to accept that explanation. Think for a moment what that promise means. As thy day. Not all days or hours are alike, so our needs vary. What happened during that hour was that a divine strength undergirded me with the kind of strength I needed. Christ was there when I needed him. He did not even wait to be asked to enter in. As I reflect on this, another incident comes back to my memory. 11 months before her death, my wife fell on the kitchen floor and broke her hip. Fortunately, I was only a few feet away from where she fell and was at her side in seconds. Hearing her fall and seeing her posture, I was very apprehensive. But this same strange calmness came over me, this ability to function without cracking up. I managed to get her up to the Davenport, covered her with a blanket, made contact with our doctor, called an ambulance, and got her to a hospital, all in a state of complete calmness. After my personal responsibilities were over, my mood changed immediately. But this, too, I believe, was an illustration of the divine power that is available in the hour of need. It isn't as if I were naturally a rugged individual who takes such things as broken hips and death in his stride without batting an eye. I believe that basically I am a coward, but I cannot doubt that this divine strength can overcome a basic weakness and make us capable of action. I can look back over the long years of my life and remember similar occasions when consciously, even desperately, I depended on that lovely old promise. I have frequently had difficult duties to perform. I have shared the human weaknesses and fears of other men and yet had to function. But relying on the divine power, I could do what had to be done. Paul, handicapped as he was by his thorn in the flesh, received the assurance, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, there is more that I could have and would have said, but I think this is good enough. I will yet remind you of a hymn that, if we had a few more minutes, I'd want to sing, but I'll reference it, and maybe we can sing it later. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly in its part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Let us kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can turn to you in this hour as in every hour with confidence that you know about us, you love us and care for us, and that you have a plan for our lives that is good and sometimes difficult to adapt to. And it's in those times that you sort of mysteriously step up and help us through. I pray that you would help our confidence to be strong, to recognize that it's your strength, and that as we abide in you, that you, abiding in us, give us the growth, the courage, and the strength to meet each passing test. In the name of Jesus, our strength, we pray. Amen.